This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, Kev.
Hi, sir. Are you recording, or can you record, please?
Yeah, I can.
Is that him?
He's doing it now.
Is he there?
Hold on.
It's Paul, right? You said sir, so it is Paul.
I heard sir. Are you talking to Paul? I can't see anything because I'm...
Because you have your hand over the...
Is that yeah.
Why are you...
Surprise!
Surprise! Surprise!
What's the surprise?
Somebody had a birthday.
Somebody's
Happy
birthday,
belated birthday.
It was somebody's birthday.
Whose?
At some point, wasn't it?
Paul. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. It was somebody's birthday at some point.
Perfect. Perfect.
Amazing. So, amazing.
Incredible. So
Kevin, is that exciting for you?
Are you fired up now, Kevin?
Yeah, this is perfect. Happy belated birthday, Paul.
Oh, me.
It is Paul. Paul, I don't know if you remember, and there's really no reason that you would, but the last time we had you, there was we did this like surprise birthday party thing, and Kevin was really happy with it. It was like a really special
moment
for him.
He's been talking about it a lot. Yeah.
Were you guys not happy with it?
I was absolutely fine with it to the extent I remember it at all.
It totally went fine. I didn't have any issues with it. I guess the only issue I do have,
sound
quality was adequate.
Yes.
If not good.
The whole posting process.
Oh my God, the way it was uploaded and the
data. You can stop.
Data.
I get it.
But what I'll say is my only issue with it is that it was this sort of special singular moment in time, and
in terms of
recreating
like
that
process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way we posted it was, I mean, that'll never happen again. Never happen again.
Each upload process is different in its own way.
Yes.
People don't realize this, but this is sort of beautiful. This is what I wanted to say.
Some are scary. Some are sad. You know how that sometimes you just like watch it go, you know?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
sort of like waving goodbye to it a little bit.
Just a balloon floating off into the into the horizon, and you go
like a bird leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
A bird flies as well. I mean, anything.
Yeah. I don't think I would wave goodbye
skybound.
Yeah.
You wouldn't wave goodbye to a balloon. What if I drew a little face on it?
Yes.
What if I put a little word bubble in it saying bye? And I also have a hand balloon next to it that looks like it's waving.
A hand balloon?
A hand balloon.
Like you'd blow up like a surgical glove. Fill a surgical glove with helium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a hand balloon. Yeah.
And then I would use a pipe cleaner to make sure that it gives the illusion of like, you don't want it just like banging into the balloon head. So you want some distance from it, so it looks like it's waving.
Or that the hand
we don't
is
wave
like directly
like that.
Attached.
No, we don't wave like that. We don't wave by constantly smacking our hand
we're not
into
waving
our head.
Like,
and you need some like separation between the hand and the torso.
Yeah, separation between hand and torso.
Not that, I mean, that's fine. It's great. Waving. If your hand is connected directly to your torso, that's fine. And to me, it's amazing, actually. It's better. But for balloon purposes...
Yeah.
I'm waving like this now, you know?
To justify the hand balloon?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying the pipe cleaner is a good idea because of all the ways that it could go wrong if you just kind of let it go.
It has a graduate's cap on that's going off to college.
I don't know how you're going to manage that.
pipe cleaners.
It's all pipe cleaners.
Yeah.
This thing's mostly pipe cleaners now. I'm afraid it
probably have to. Put a blimp up there as well that says college or is like painted like a college or something like that.
I might have to put it on a drone.
Sorry, a blimp that's painted like a college?
Yes.
That's cool. Like if the blimp is college colored.
Using the same exterior paint that a college used?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're using all the same. Yeah, you could probably go. I mean, a lot of these colleges probably have a storage room where they just have the exact color that they used for the original.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Or you go on their computer.
Yeah.
If they have a file just like paint color file, you know, in a folder.
Paintcolor.jpg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ask you pull Pantone. That up too.
What if you were trying to get Pantone and you accidentally got Panatone? You guys ever had a big Panatone? You've
is that
never.
The
shampoo? Oh my
Panatone?
God.
Panatone?
Now I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Shampoo?
No, it's not a shampoo.
Then
what
I don't
if,
know what you're
What if,
I don't know
though? What if you were trying to get Pantone and you accidentally got Pantene?
Pantene?
Oh, this is like
you
a
were
Marvel's
trying to get Pantene.
If.
This is like, much like a Marvel's
Uatu the Watcher. But what would happen if you went to get a dessert, but instead you got some shampoo?
So you do know
right?
what it is. It's Milanese.
Pant one.
I know what it is now. Yes. Bread. Now that you, now it took you saying Pantene for me to put the Panatone in its proper
Pantene
context.
Had been missing from the equation mm-hmm. for a little bit. And once it showed yeah. up, it was like the part of one of the Marvel What If where I finally figure out what's happening.
Yes, the Infinity Stones, etc.
Mm-hmm. Kevin was hearing Pant One the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Is that true,
which
Kevin?
Is just that very first sound that escapes when he's a
like
lovely
Joey,
lady.
Like Joey Fat One?
That's what I heard. Is that weird?
It's so weird.
I think it's a blue dress, gold dress kind of thing.
I love a dress.
He's talking about his house. He's talking about his home. He's confusing what he's supposed to say when he gets lost, when he's just like out right. in the world and he gets found. He's supposed to tell. You're not just supposed to say.
Address. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
you're,
not if you're
supposed
lost. To say address or
I love address.
Address.
Excuse me, sir. I love address.
I'm lost. I love address.
It ultimately is like, yeah, you want to go home. That's the same. Message, you love address.
Doctor, I'm lost. I love address. Take me.
Officer,
Captain?
Address is my favorite.
Teacher.
Please, teacher. Mrs. Teacher.
Mom, I mean teacher. Oops. The worst.
Mrs. Teacher, mommy.
I have to be lost in
teacher,
class.
Teacher, mommy.
Lost in class? What?
I love my address.
If you're a freshman, sometimes you like you're going to high school and you're going to a bigger school than you were at before. You can get lost. Mm.
Absolutely, yeah. And then it's time
gosh.
To go home.
I remember
can.
I went up.
It's basically
I went
a requirement.
Up the, I went up the downstairs, and me and two other guys.
Oh no!
And we were ridiculed
the
by everyone.
The opposite of the cow that they put in there is a prank.
I can't stand cringe comedy. I'm dying. Oh, why does it? My stomach. Oh, no. Oh,
it's his brand. It's his brand. Very confessional. Very, yeah. At times, very cringe.
Yeah.
Paul.
But I do it because I know there's somebody else out there
sorry.
Who walked up the downstairs. You
it's visceral. Mean? No, that's why it's so effective. I didn't
it's
do
visceral.
That, but
it's
I,
like,
you know,
yeah.
but I did something.
Probably.
Paul,
and you can relate
what?
To it in some way. No. Hey, and what I do is I take
Paul,
a big knife. I take a butcher knife and I slit myself open and I say, look. See anything?
Look
see anything
this.
You can relate to?
Mm. See anything you like?
Well, I mean, I don't want people to take my organs. I want what I'm trying to do is say we're not so different.
See anything you don't like? That part is you.
That's how about,
see anything yeah. you don't like? That's yourself reflected back at you.
I like that. Okay, Hayes, go.
We can only truly hate what we recognize
to what
in
obligation
ourselves.
Has the comedian?
We can only true hatred can be achieved by recognizing what we hate in ourselves. And until you can do that, until you take that first step, you can't truly hate. Is that what you're saying?
How are you going to hate until you hate yourself? Mm-hmm. You're going to go out there and try to hate someone else when you haven't done the work to learn to hate yourself yet.
Yeah. How are you going to find hate?
How are you going to hate from outside?
I'm sorry, no.
How are you going to hate from outside the guts? You can't even get in.
Mm-mm.
Well, to what obligation has the comedian?
To offend.
To offend.
That's the obligation.
Mm, delicious.
What I do when I get on stage is I say, what do these people like? I'm going to say the opposite of that.
Mm.
But sometimes it just turns out that they like it. So then I'm thinking, well,
to offend and perhaps to defend yourself.
Nah.
No?
Hey.
Oh, to defend yourself.
Yourself.
Yes. The number one job of a comedian, I offend you. It's just a joke. Leave me alone. I offend you. It's just a joke. How dare you? The three stages of comedy.
The game has two, you know, there's two sides of the field. There's offense and defense.
That's right.
So you got to run back. You got to get back on D.
Then I defend me.
Yes.
And thus
sometimes the best offense is a very good offense.
Very.
Sometimes the best offense is to be incredibly offensive. You know? It's like... And the best defense is to continue to offend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That first one, the first offensive thing turned out to be just a pump fake. And then you got him in the air.
Yeah.
Then you really go there? For it.
Draw a little contact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Finish strong.
Are you offended? I did my job.
Mm-hmm. Pay me. Now pay my ass.
Are you offended and you're yelling at me about it? No, you don't get to do that. My job is to offend you, and also it's just a joke.
Then don't even type it. Don't even.
No.
Don't even send me a message about it.
How dare you? You don't live in a real place.
Keyboard warrior. Is anyone else sick of these keyboard warriors?
Look, I get up there in front of a bunch of people who are going to love whatever I say, and I say it. And so that's brave. And then these keyboard warriors who are hiding behind a screen have the gall, because they weren't at the show, I guess, to say, this sucks.
Couldn't make it to the show. So right there, you're weak. You're a coward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now suddenly you don't like what I did. Okay. You're lame. You suck. You weak coward. Come to the show next time and don't tell me there.
Yeah. But don't be like a... In-person warrior.
You don't like it. No, yeah. Please don't be. Please.
Don't be just a regular warrior.
Worst thing other than a keyboard warrior, what I think I like even less is an in-person warrior who confronts me to my face about my behavior.
Ugh. Can you imagine?
In-person warriors. What happened to our country, to our society?
If somebody walks up to me and says, hey, I thought what you did was wrong. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Cringe.
Don't I have the... I'm trying to eat my dinner or whatever. I'm trying to be in public, and now you talk to me. That's not allowed.
I'm trying to continue... I'm trying to continue being rude. You know what I mean? I'm in the middle of being rude to you, and you're suddenly, like, putting in the context of the situation and saying why my behavior is inappropriate, and you're interrupting me.
Yeah. And guess what?
Like, I'm trying to complete a task.
Now you're going to make me be ruder. Mm-hmm. You brought this. I don't even want to do this. No. You're making me do it.
I had chosen the level I was going to be rude at.
Yes.
And now I need to do it louder and twice as much because my feelings are hurt. Yeah.
And you're not compensated to do it. I'm compensated. You're not. So that means you're not allowed.
Yes.
You're only allowed to do it.
People want me to do this. Yes. I don't want you to do what you're doing to me. Case closed. Look, I was going to be this rude, and I was done with it.
Now I have to pay you because you're doing this? Like, I don't...
No way. No way.
No. You just ordered more. You just ordered more of exactly what you don't like.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to do more comedy, but now I guess I got to go back and do it and address this.
Kevin, can we just sort of...
Now my comedy's about you. Now my comedy's about you not liking my comedy.
Because you can't take a joke. Yeah.
I just want to...
Because you don't get jokes.
I just want to address framing.
Shut up, Pace. Shut up.
Wow. Whoa. Oh, you're doing rude comedy.
Now I'm doing comedy on you.
Yes. Yes.
And I like it. This is, I have a normal reaction to this, which I'm like, awesome.
He's like laughing and having fun.
That kicks ass.
Somebody
yeah.
told me I suck.
Do it again.
I'm looking at, I'm looking to get in as part of this.
It slaps. It rips. It's a bop.
It's bussing.
It's giving me life.
I want to carve out a little, just like the.
Okay, we'll get back to this, but let's take some time.
The framing conversation framing with Kevin, just like composition is what I want. No. Back down. Well, now you actually look like a... No, go back up. No. Go back up to where you were.
Far.
Now he looks like a funny dog. Actually, he looks like Brian.
Like who?
Like Brian the dog.
Oh, from Family Guy?
Brian the dog, yeah.
Can we talk about... So when I was at Family Guy, we lost Brian, you know. I don't know if anyone remembers. Like, it probably affected me a little more than you guys because I was actually there, but...
They killed the dog?
We did lose Brian. Yeah.
You don't get to tell me how I felt about Brian.
Well,
I understand you were there. I understand you were affected by it.
I know how much it...
You don't know how meaningful I know how much it meant Brian to you. Has yeah. been to me. Yeah.
Hayes, did what happened? Was it that the dog who does the voice died in real life?
The dog, Brian,
yeah,
was struck by a car on Ooh. Camera.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. And he died.
To put it simply,
yeah,
he died.
Mm-hmm. And so even seeing Kevin like this now is really bringing back all those emotions are flooding back for me. But I want to honor someone who, when we were all just like we were walking around the office like zombies. We could barely like do the job. Have this like family like stay together.
Yeah. Well, think about how I didn't even have a job.
Yes. So, and who comes along but Tony Sirico to voice Vinny, the replacement dog mm-hmm. for Brian.
Yeah.
Exactly when we needed him. Didn't even have to call him. He was right there. And I don't see anyone, and that's
what do you mean
how
you didn't
he was.
Have to call him, he was right there. Like he was just there. He was at the offices of Family Guy?
Yeah, he's flipping a coin.
You can feel when Family Guy needs you, you feel it. Tony.
Like those cats in the nursing homes.
Yeah. And Stewie was very reluctant to accept Vinny.
Stewie's the baby.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Then he continues doing his service as the dog.
Sorry, Paul. Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. People forget that. He's a baby.
It's very easy to forget.
This is a baby.
This is a baby we're talking about.
This is a baby.
This is a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's going to take a minute to adjust to Vinny.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Hayes. You were saying.
And then, of course, like Stewie... I feel I have to remind everyone, actually, given what I'm about to say, that this is a baby.
Yeah.
Stewie gets his time machine that he had destroyed.
Sorry, Hayes. Do you think that some people, when they hear the name Stewie, they think that he's like a pot of stew?
No, I'm...
Do you think... I'm saying, do you think that's possible that there's somebody out there, they hear the name Stewie, and they're like, oh, one of the characters on the show is a bowl, is like a pot of stew that talks.
Is that a
bowl? That's fun to imagine. Yeah. It's fun to imagine the stew, and it's fun to imagine the person who thinks of the stew.
Yeah. And the stew is piping hot at all times, and it's just, is it always, I guess it's just always on the stove. So any scene that takes place in the kitchen, you're likely to hear from Stewie.
So now it is a pot. So, yeah, you said bowl for a second, but
I made a mistake.
Right,
I made a mistake, and I maybe I was thinking it would be nice to have a bowl of stew from that pot of stew.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had stew in a long time.
And what do you think the stew says?
Is it hot in here, or is it just me? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's both, stew.
Don't eat me. You're fat enough, Peter Griffin, the patriarch of the Griffin family.
It's both. It is hot. It's a summer stew.
Whatever you're walking through, and you go, man, I could go for some stew. I wonder if this stew's finally ready. And then mm-hmm. the stew goes, not yet, not quite yet. Another few minutes, and just you live forever that way. You know, always go like almost.
And then the person walks away. Hour. Then the person walks away, and then the stew like says to himself, like, low and slow, baby, low and slow. Because the stew started to bubble, and then you turn it. Somebody turns it down. Maybe Lois
turned
Griffin,
down the heat.
The wife
Lois
of the family.
And Lois and slowest
down.
Lois and slowest.
Lois and mm-hmm. slowest.
That I feel like could be merch.
Sure.
For Family Guy, the TV mm-hmm. show. If in the world where the stew is a character, the sentient stew
if
is a character.
If Stewie was a pot of stew, yeah, who was saying, and it was the and it. And what it said was, you know, what we landed on maybe third or fourth. Then, and then part of the story was that the heat was turned down by Lois.
Yeah. Did they ever do a crossover of Family Guy and American Dad?
Wow. Could they?
American Guy.
Mm-hmm. Family.
Family Dad.
Family Dad.
Mm-hmm. They both work.
Family Dad.
Both, honestly, you don't actually have to change.
Do it
anything.
Both ways. It should be an hour. It should be an hour long episode.
American Guy, comma Family Dad.
They did a Simpsons crossover. This is my first episode on
the
show.
Really?
Do you remember what the Simpsons crossover was called? You do. The you Simps- were inspired Simps- by it.
The Simps guy?
Simpsons guy. Simpsons guy. Don't overthink it. Simpsons guy is fine.
That seems like that's a very, for your first episode, that seems like a very harrowing episode to have to write.
Do all by myself? Yeah. Oh my God. I have to learn stressed. Who all these different Simpsons are.
They throw me into the deep end. I go, well, I work for Family Guy. I don't work for the Simpsons. It wasn't my job to know who every right. Simpsons was.
Yeah. So you make the Simpsons look bad. Like they don't get any joke lines.
That's the trick.
They're just for exposition.
They're all information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Kevin
actually
has.
I'd like to see that. I think that would be very, very entertaining.
Kevin has some kind of little thing. Some little. You want to. Like, you have some birthday. Your little treats.
So, is this to celebrate my birthday from last September or to. Is a pre.
September
I think that
is
was
the
month.
Okay. Yeah. I was curious about that.
I think that was the idea. This was what Kevin was sort of
we
pushing.
Haven't seen you since.
And
right?
I thought, like.
I don't think so.
Okay.
The beautiful. The other time we did great. It, I was sort of thinking it would lead to like
I'm happy.
Us being
I am too. I'm
invited
good.
Onto
we're both happy. So
something live show, podcast, something like that. Didn't work out that way. And Kevin
day of my life.
Kevin suggested it. I figure
episode. If I died today, I've done it.
Couldn't hurt to rev the engine again. See what, you know.
I'm going to try to
shake die. The tree, see what falls out.
Okay.
I'm praying that God kills me.
Here's your first message.
Philadelphia.
Wait, Paul, do you know where this is? Dang it, you spoiled it.
The Philadelphia Zoo?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I do.
Aquarium.
The penguins at Philadelphia Zoo and Logan would like to wish you a very happy birthday. We hope to see you soon, and we hope you have an awesome day.
Which one's Logan?
There he is.
Unbelievable.
I like that sound of their little feet.
Unbelievable that we pay for Kevin to take an entire trip to the Philadelphia Zoo, and this is what
he brings back.
This is what comes back.
Wait, well, Kevin, was that your voice?
No, that was my friend Jared, who works there
He didn't even film it himself.
Well, I had to take a second trip because the first
he
one
works
got,
there, he worked there before you met him. there.
Because we were coworkers.
You became friends with her there. And you didn't work there.
Well, that was my second trip.
You feed it. You getting to feed the, like, you know, give the penguins kippers. Is like, you don't work there. You being a part of the show. Like,
if you feed goats at a petting zoo, you give them the little pellets. You're not an employee. You're not a zookeeper, but
you're performing the task that is a task of the workers.
Sure.
Same as, like, you know, being a volunteer at a magic show. You're not a magician.
Well, but when you're a volunteer at a magic show, you're never performing one of the tasks that the magician would normally do.
But then why are you there at all? If you're not...
Like, the magician would never be picking a card. Only the volunteer picks a card. But why feeding the penguin, that is the task of the employee.
Well, they could have... But, yeah, but that... Okay, all right. You know what? Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair, Sean.
He did some work there. Yeah.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair. And it was a flawed example on my part, and I apologize. I guess it's like if you go to
do you want to take five, man? You want to jump out of this room and just cool out?
No. Okay. No. It's like if you go to a baseball game and you're wearing a jersey.
Throwing out the first pitch. How about throwing out the first pitch at the baseball game?
Yes, thank you.
That doesn't make you a player for the team.
No, you're not on the team. Even if you're wearing a jersey, you're not on the team.
Oh, that is something the players do, but you're not. But you're not.
No, you're not getting paid to do that. You didn't go to baseball college. You are.
And
not,
that's the equivalent of feeding the penguins.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Good
thank
example,
you.
Paul.
And Paul thinks that they shouldn't be paid for throwing a pitch in a baseball game like that.
It's a child's game.
Yeah, I'm saying that's right. I'm saying nobody children. Should be paid.
That's why you're wearing a Phillies cap. You're like, does this look hard to you?
Yeah. I did this myself. Here's what I think.
Can I get $1 billion now?
Here's what I think. Baseball
I put it
players,
on too.
Baseball players, if they want to earn money and earn, you know, like literally earn it, they should just get a cut of the door. That's how we should do it. And the better they play, the more fans come, the more money they make.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe they get some of the concessions too. Like they get 20% of the concessions.
If they're really moving units, if they're able to, like, as they're playing, push some of the higher end concessions.
And it should be a bringer.
It should be a bringer. Baseball game should be bringer events.
You should definitely start out having to do that. And then when you're super established, when you become like a big star, like, I don't know the name of any baseball stars because I just don't believe in that.
Don Drysdale. When you start to get the biggest cheers, that's how they know who people like the most. And look, as far as the bringer aspect goes, each player, if each player is responsible for four people, both teams, right? And including like managers, coach, base coaches, stuff like that. That's not hard to do, right? And then everybody else will be.
Four people? No.
For
four people per person.
Sorry, just in case people are
someone
confused.
Else might discover someone they, you know, they're a big fan of because they came just as a favor to like their work friend.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden they're like, I found my new favorite baseball player tonight.
Yeah. And I think people would do that. I think people would go. I think if you were a successful baseball player, you know, if you're like Mike Trout say, hey, talk to, you know, like your wife, three of your friends, you say, could you guys please come to my baseball game? I think they would go.
Sure.
They like you. They think you're good. You are good.
No, you have a big circle. Yeah, no. But for me, my thing about baseball, I never have to pay for it.
What is that? How do you do that?
It just comes to him.
Baseball finds me. I don't go out. I don't pay for it.
Why buy the cow?
You that. You know? I don't pay for it.
Yeah, why buy the cow? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think if I want to see baseball, I think I'll be able to find it.
He's just walking around. You know, you say the right things. The little baseball game breaks out.
There's always baseball happening somewhere.
Yep.
In major metropolitan areas.
If you know
people are listening, if they aren't baseball people, they're hearing like Trout and Drysdale. Are these more stews?
Is this stew again?
Trout is definitely a stew for sure.
Dry stale.
Stew.
I mean, it's not
dry
a good
stale stew.
It's not a
oh,
good
no, not
stew.
Oh no, not dry and stale. I'm sorry. I think I wasn't enunciating properly. But Don Drysdale, who invented lemonade and iced tea. Dandy Don Drysdale.
Dandy.
And he used to do the commercials for
lemonade
it.
And iced
fall
tea.
Into the
they're
pool.
Going, am I washing down my stew mm-hmm. with this?
Yeah. Yeah. My Drysdale stew.
Mm-hmm. And he has Drysdale's Own, which famously all of the profits go to him.
That's right. Yeah. He reminds people.
Every
hey, don't forget, all the profits go to me.
I made it. It was my idea.
Was that the only video?
There's well, actually Paul, seven more.
Yeah. So Kevin, really, I just wanted to mention, like, it's sort of pathetic to try to recapture. Like, art doesn't work this way. Like, you don't mm-hmm. do whatever this amazing first episode we did with the cameos. You know, I can acknowledge that the upload process of that was special.
Counterpoint, Ted 2.
I almost think
now, I might need a breather. I mean, I feel like Paul, when he brought up the magician thing, I look like a total fucking idiot right now, because what I was saying, he immediately dismantled, and I'm almost unable to continue with the show. Can I think of something? There have been bad sequels, right?
A couple.
But Ted 2, yeah. I think, was the first birthday cameo episode. And Ted 1 is more like this one. So the lightning in a bottle was Ted 2. Ted 1 right. was...
And Hayes saved me.
You know, Ted 1, you gotta open the bottle, you gotta... Like, you got to put it outside, all that stuff. Like, you got to do mm-hmm. you got to do the work.
So Ted 1 was an empty bottle
yes.
with a cork next to it,
yes.
sitting outside
mm-hmm.
in the yard.
Outside.
Mm-hmm. And a little okay. piece of filament
in the wet yard
to attract lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I buy it.
It's belated birthday wishes. You turn 30 on the 22nd of this month. You love the show, and you're part of the family business. And you enjoy the family dynamics. Your wife is Victoria, and you have two daughters. You're the cover boy of Housing Wire Mag as the 2021 rising star. Counsel in the Senate banking and drafted the forbearance provision of the CARES Act. Oh, my God. What a smart fellow, Matt, you are. Clearly. But do you tell people on a regular basis, which you should tell them, you know, when they get in your face, just tell them to fuck the fuck off. That's what I do. And it seems to work. Happy belated birthday.
So this
wow,
is...
Wow, really nice.
In case you sustain an injury that erases your memory, we wanted to do one cameo that was just someone reciting facts to you about your life.
Brian Cox just fills the details back in.
Yeah, just yeah. reads a list. Yeah. And then
yeah,
brief commentary.
Style.
Brief commentary at the end, yeah.
A little bit of like, and this is, you know, and then an attempt to get into his famous catchphrase.
Which I think is, maybe he didn't want to do the full fuck off because...
He gets paid a lot more to say that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why does he think people are going to get in that guy's face?
You know,
should tell them, yeah.
Because I didn't hear that on the list. I didn't hear that unless people are always getting in your face.
But if you're, when you're on the, you wouldn't know this, but, or a lot of people wouldn't know this, I guess, but maybe you would. When you're on the cover of Housing Wares Magazine. Everybody, it's the old gunslinger routine, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody yeah. who rolls into town wants to prove themselves against the champ.
They want to make a legend by killing a legend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's sad. The gunslingers make me sad when I think about them.
You what? Kidding?
It's a terrible
I'm
time.
I'm crying every night about the gunslingers.
Thinking about the gunslingers.
I pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for them. When I say my yeah. prayers at night. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of them are,
that's
are in
of
hell.
That's one of my main prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some are in purgatory, probably.
Some are in purgatory, but they know they're going to hell.
Yeah.
They killed a lot of bad guys too.
Yeah, exactly.
The gunslingers walking around thinking like, oh my God, I'm being like Dexter.
But you're waiting for the
this
tally
so,
to come
this is
in.
So crazy! I'm being exactly like Dexter right now.
How Dexter am I right now?
Okay, I'm on my Dexter shit. And
I'm giving Dexter.
I'm killing Bad Bart. Is this Dexter enough for you?
Okay. Big Dexter energy, hashtag BDE.
BDE, there we go.
Yes.
There we go. That's
big,
fun. I like that.
Big Dex energy,
I've
yes.
Big yeah. Dex energy.
But if Big Dex,
and I'm
I think.
Killing Bad Bart.
But people might think Dex Shepherd. If you're not, because it's, if you,
you
say
got it
quickly.
This is going to be written out.
It has to be written
this
out.
This is all going to be written yeah. out.
No. It's
so it's like on the t-shirt. It's BDE and with an asterisk. And then at the bottom in small letters spelled out, mm-hmm. Big Dexter Energy. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, a picture of Dexter. Why not?
Well, I wouldn't mind getting a picture of Dexter in there. A nice looking guy and never a bad thing to remember that mm-hmm. When you hear about a bad serial killer, that there are some good ones who only kill other serial killers.
Exactly. You know, one bad apple, right? Like don't, mm-hmm. for every John Wayne Gacy, there's probably five Dexters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Dexters outnumber the other ones.
And we don't know about them because they don't want to get caught. Like your traditional serial killer is trying to get caught and eventually
somebody
does,
please
always.
Stop me from doing what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And then Dexter goes, well, I will stop you from doing what you're doing.
That's right. And I'm not looking to get praise for it. Yeah. I'm not trying to get famous. I'm just trying to enjoy my orange juice that I have every morning. Fresh
true crime
juice.
Podcasts are pretty good, and so this might be a really big episode for us
because we mentioned true crime. We mentioned
well,
crime.
We got all into it. We got into you know all of the Dexter, what Dexter has for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You were just talking about the orange juice.
Dexfist.
This is yes. Dexter, of course, didn't really.
That's what he calls a punch.
So this is a fake crime podcast. Is what we're doing right now.
Oh, I guess that's right.
I like this.
But
pioneering...
he mentioned John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when Wolf Blitzer is in the Avengers or some shit. You know what I mean? So that makes it, or that makes the world real. So we're by saying that John Wayne Gacy and Dexter exist in the same universe, it legitimizes.
Are you thinking
it.
Of Mission Impossible Fallout? When they needed the scientist to give them the codes, and he would only do so if they were to call Wolf Blitzer.
Right.
And so they would read his manifesto
mm-hmm.
on air.
Right.
Which is that there can be no peace without great sacrifice, and the greater the sacrifice, the greater the peace.
Yeah.
And Ethan makes the call.
Ethan.
Wolf begins reading the manifesto on air. To the delight of the scientist. And once it has been read to his satisfaction, he delivers the access codes for it's too late.
Because he's as good as his word.
For it's too late. Anyway, yes. And he keeps his promises.
Mm-hmm. And then, Robin Hood style. Yeah.
And then Ethan declares, pull it. And all four walls of the set they've created drop. At the same time, as you do when you rap, when it's time to strike. All right, everyone, that's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Click.
Pull the walls
four
down.
Walls of the set.
It's very dangerous to finish production on anything because they immediately collapse all of the structures that have been
assembled.
I mean,
seasoned people, you know to get out of the way.
Yes.
But you know what? When I did a sleep study and the room that I slept in felt very much like a fake room where they could pull the walls down immediately after I left.
Wow.
So that part was cool.
That wasn't
and I was
even
hooked
Wolf
up to
Blitzer.
A bunch of wires.
I don't know if you got that. That wasn't even Wolf Blitzer. It was Benji.
Right. But here's, okay, so maybe I was thinking in Avengers, maybe I was thinking of Pat Kiernan, who there must have been a real
Pat
person.
Pat Kiernan. Yeah, Pat Kiernan. He got shot by an arrow in the Avengers.
Right there on the set of New York One.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's doing the newscast, got shot by a stray Hawkeye's arrow under the desk, and he just gutted it out, went through it. You can't even see it.
You see like a little, there's a little moment of like, yeah.
What'd you learn at your sleep study, Paul?
that I didn't have any problems and I didn't need to do it, that I slept fine. And what had been concerning was that I had had more, I'd had some extra weight on me, and that was causing me to snore.
Hey, well, you know what I always say, if you want to sleep better, just study. You
know, I get it.
Makes me.
Speaking of extra weight, I feel like I'm waiting a long time for this next video.
The video.
Hey, Paul, how are you, my friend? It's your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. And I want to wish a very happy 35th birthday on December the 21st. I know you wanted me to celebrate by chugging a glass of milk on your birthday, but I can't right now because I'm on vacation and there's no milk here. But I promise you, the day I meet you, we will celebrate with a glass of milk. Take care and God bless and have a great birthday, my friend. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Wow, even more conviction than when he did it in the ring. I don't know. He was like holding back all these years in the ring.
Can I say he kind of knocked Brian Cox's dick in the dirt? Like, he crushed it comparatively. But,
that's what he's built for. You know?
He didn't feel
he's
the need
Olympian.
To segue into the catchphrase. You just do the catchphrase. Every one of Brian Cox's cameos, just at the end, he can go, now fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have to come up with this whole, like, build
imaginary scenario.
Architecture.
I hope very much you are saying, or you remember to say, you should be telling folks of what to say of this when they try and to get near you.
As you are besieged by these
like Kurt Angle
scoundrels.
Saying, like, and, you know, when people come up to you and they say something along the lines of, like, oh, is today your birthday? It's my wish that you'd respond with, oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Where do you think he is that there's no milk?
Gosh.
Yeah, I was curious about that as well. What I did like, I thought this was a very clever gambit, is that he sidesteps the milk. Before you have time to even put together that there probably is milk wherever he's on vacation, he goes, but I promise to chug milk with you when we meet in person. And it's like, oh, we're going to meet in person? It's like, well, no, you're probably not.
And now you're...
So it's a safe thing to lock yourself into.
But now you have two issues together, if you meet in person. You're going to have to drink a whole glass of milk. And the person is going to ask where you were that there wasn't any milk.
This is the thing, is that now he's...
You've got a lot of time.
This scenario that it is possible this guy could meet Kurt Angle. The possibility that they meet where there is milk readily available on hand, I think that now, possibility of that is very... It's pretty out there.
Because this is just like when I was on vacation, there's no milk anywhere.
Yeah. But then what if it's like a Houdini situation where, you know, he doesn't even know who this, Kurt Angle doesn't even know who this guy is, but this guy has taken what Kurt Angle said very seriously.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to be somewhere. He finds him. He's got two ice cold glasses of milk. And he's like, hey, Kurt. And then Kurt turns around. He like somehow he gets the milk down Kurt's throat when he's not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kills him hours later. Somehow.
Maybe he's on vacation in his car. I believe there's no milk in there. There's not supposed to be.
Like just going, yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm going on vacation for a half hour. I'm going to go sit in my car.
I'm taking my vacation.
Maybe he thinks vacation is like the same as break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. I mean, yeah.
Why do people love making videos in their cars so much?
Oh, gosh, Paul. Is that a real question?
Well, yeah. Like, why did he do that in his car? Why was that? I don't understand.
Where would you have him do it?
He could do it in his home.
Now they've
seen
your home.
He's on vacation.
Yeah, he's on vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry. In his car. Okay. All right. Yeah, so I guess all these people are on vacation in their cars.
I think so.
And I'm the weird one.
You're just overdue for a vacation is what it is, Paul.
I was in my car
yesterday. Damn workaholic.
Now, like, I was
take
in my-
a break, man. Go to your car, make some videos, unwind. You're so fucking tense, dude. I'm worried about you. Light me up, man.
All right. Well, thank you. And maybe I do need to take a little vacation.
I think you've earned a couple videos in your car, my man. What's a funny place to say that he's on vacation? There's no milk. Can you think of one?
PETA headquarters.
Uh-huh. PETA headquarters. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, vegans has no milk. Yeah.
Hollywood Handbook. This week on the Patreon, the boys tease an upcoming pro version, Carl and Hassan record a summertime hit, and the flagrant ones are mostly talking all things basketball. Check out all these shows and the video for today's episode with PFT at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to, like, smoke down a big-ass tree right now. And, like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are.
So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hollywood Handbook.
Kevin, you can just play the videos. You don't have to, like...
This one I want to play, like, the first 10 seconds and then skip a minute in.
Okay.
Paul. Hello. It's me, Paul. Paul. Hey, Paul. Listen, thank you very much for being a big fan. I really appreciate that, genuinely.
Okay, he makes a bunch of movie references to Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
You said you loved the movie. Well, oh, let's see, what else? I don't know where you're from. I don't know how old you're turning. But I would like to shout out, nay, sing happy birthday to you.
He gets arrested again. The Vice Squad just comes in from behind that curtain.
Because he's at a peep show.
I thought you knew the terms.
You know, what I like is how natural it feels. He didn't overplan for this thing.
No. Mm-hmm.
When you get to the, like, what else? That's
and
a good cameo. You're not trying to get out of there.
No.
Yeah.
And he's honest because he's saying, here's the things I don't know about you. I was not provided this information. As if to indicate I should have been provided this information.
Little shade at the request. At the
Absolutely. Giver. Letting you know it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And you can blame whoever bought this video for you.
Well, you're probably wondering why I'm not mentioning some of this essential birthday message material.
Yes.
It's because your loved one fucked up.
Sin of omission, they call it.
Hey, Paul, what's up? It's Tony Hawk. I just want to say happy birthday to you. 34.
Him.
That seems you're so young to me. I'm 52.
Yeah.
So you have a bright future ahead of you. Thanks for being a fan. I appreciate all the support, especially that you played Pro Skater and Underground. Doesn't matter if you didn't skate.
Shit.
I mean, I feel like that was the idea of creating those games, that you could skate virtually and vicariously through
that was
these
the idea.
Characters and come up with awesome tricks and big scores.
That's
and,
the fucking point, dumbass.
Hey, I'm still playing it too. I hope you know that the remaster's out, because it's just as fun, I promise, as the original. Anyway, keep up the good work and stay positive.
But wait, if the point of the game is that people who don't skate can enjoy skating, then why is Tony Hawk playing the game?
It's true, because he doesn't say you can play the game even if you don't skate. He's saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the point was you don't have to skate to play the game. Or you don't, if you don't, only, what did he say? He said, I thought the point was.
Said, I think that was the point.
That only,
right?
That only people who don't skate can play the game. I think, right? Is that what he said?
I believe, if I recall correctly, what he said was, I can't believe you played these two games. That's rocking my fucking world right now.
Yeah.
He also said, you're guaranteed to have a bright future because I'm older than you. He said, 34 sounds so young. I'm 52, so you have a really bright future ahead of you. Then he said, it's okay that you didn't skate. Actually, that's the whole fucking point, dumbass.
Yeah.
Is that only people who don't skate can play the game.
I like
then he goes, I'm playing the game. What?
Yeah. He does such a mind fuck on this kid. And I love that he like sets it up like, it's gaslighting, and I love it. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I love it. He's like, you're a big fan? I'm going to fuck with your brain right now.
Yeah. Let
now
me just crawl and set up shop inside your head, and I'm going to be staying for a while.
Let me take a hammer and tongs to your cerebellum.
I like seeing his house from, like, how it looks on camera, like, compared to, like, in person. That was interesting.
Was his house in the video?
It's his property. Sorry.
Oh,
it's like not like his house, but like
I thought like he traveled
his yard
like to a valley over to get his house in the background.
he lives, you see, he lives in like these roll at the top of this like big hill that's covered in tall grass,
beautiful.
Which he,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. But the skater's temptation, he calls it, because it's this amazing hill, but the grass is like so tall. But he's thinking like,
so hard to skate on. But
I could maybe,
could I maybe skate it?
Okay, so there's skateboards, there's snowboards. Why aren't there grass boards?
Board.
Why is this money being left on the table? It makes me mad.
What would that look like? I guess it has a little mower in the front.
It has little lawnmower blades in the front, and it's got sort of taller wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, some kid is going to get his hand fucking chewed up by it, and then nobody can have it.
He's going to pitch forward on the grass board. And
the warning labels on this thing.
Get all mowed up.
Yeah, he'll get mowed up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My kid was mowed by your product.
Yeah, well, you didn't teach him how to fall.
Look at my mowed child.
When you bail off the grass board, ma'am, you don't lie down in front of it.
Yeah.
There's a mower on it. It's a grass board.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You read the warning label? Man, the stickers they put on this thing, huh?
If I fell off the Yungle-Yim when I was a kid and I fell on the ground, then I learned to climb the Yungle-Yim better. You know what I'm saying?
Or don't climb it. Isn't that the Yungle-Yim is not for you.
Mostly I learned to stay away from it. Yeah.
Isn't that how they pronounce that beer where you come from?
Jingling?
It all sounds the same to me.
I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Jingling.
Okay, last three.
Hey, Paul. It's your girl, Snoopy Snooks. And I just wanted to say happy 34th Snoopy birthday. Snooks. You're getting old, bitch. I'm just kidding. You're not getting old. You're fabulous. Keeping amazing. But I wanted
to say thank
you for all of your support. Oh, my God. My hair is a mess. Sorry. But I wanted to say thank you for all of your support.
Oh, I want my money back.
I know you watched me on WrestleMania. And I have to say that was like
what?
The top three most amazing things I've ever done. So thank you for loving me on that because I was so nervous. But yeah, I just wanted to say happy 34th birthday. You are amazing. And I want you to spiral and get drunk and enjoy yourself because you are amazing. And I love you so much. So happy birthday, boo. Mwah. Love ya.
Wow.
Snoopy Snooks. She's a new MetLife mascot.
So it's like you see on the blimp, you see Charlie Brown, Linus, Lucy, and Snoopy Snooks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize she was involved in the world of wrestling now. Haven't really kept tabs on either her or wrestling.
Chugs milk like everyone else.
That's
mostly what they do now. They just,
is that a trend that's happening in wrestling? Is they're drinking
drink
a lot
big
of milk?
Glass of milk.
Is that a signal to white supremacists? Like they're
taking
saying,
it
we
back.
Know you're watching.
No, it's taking it back.
Oh, I like
what
that.
What are we supposed to do? Not drink a big glass of milk now because these guys are doing it? No, we're
or
showing.
Or because we're adults. I like, it's like when U2 took back Helter Skelter from Charles Manson on behalf of the Beatles.
Yeah, and being
for
like,
the Beatles,
being
for
weird and wacky and random.
Yes.
Like all the stuff that he tried to like make, this is like a bad thing, being random.
Yeah.
No, it was really hard to be random for a while.
Yeah.
And not draw an unfavorable comparison.
Making like little noises. We can't do that anymore.
Like a Charles Fleischer type personality.
Yes.
Doing like a crazy face going like,
it's pretty random. And then in the early 70s, they would compare you to Charles Manson.
Yes.
That was so unfortunate because it's like
just making my little noises.
Take away our little noises that we make when we're just hanging around being random with our friends.
And if you were under 5'7", people were like, you're like Charles Manson.
Yeah, people crossing the street.
Yeah. And now we have short kings.
Yes.
Well, if you're squatting on a ranch, remember anytime you would squat on an old man's
squat
ranch,
goals. Yeah.
It was it was major squat goals for me, but then everyone go like, what is this, like another Manson situation? I go, no.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
making your followers kill.
Yeah, trying to start a race war. If you if you, there was a time where if you did that, people would compare you to Charles Manson.
No, if you were, genuinely trying to start an innocent race war and not even saying who you were rooting for or anything, and you were sort of building an underground bunker,
a race war that was not your idea, by the way.
No, your whole thing was you were just going to wait it out. You weren't even going to fight in the war.
No,
you were going to chill out. And then when it was done, you were going to come and go like, hey, what's with all the race wars, everybody? Mm-hmm. Can we relax and cool it? Yeah. I've got an idea. Follow me.
He did not do a good job of that. I think we can say now.
Yeah.
And I sort of wonder if his followers were like hearing the plan and being like, how is this going to start a race war?
I think in retrospect,
you're not really doing it.
Yeah. In retrospect, we can look back at Charles Manson and what he did and say, this guy was not perfect. And he didn't have it all figured out.
I'm not offended by that. I think it is okay. I think it is okay to criticize in that way and say, hey, some of the methodology, you know, was flawed. Mm-hmm. It was flawed. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see it when you're up close to it. But with some distance, I think we can say some of what Charles Manson did was in error.
Yeah. Helter Skelter, the song Helter Skelter is a living document.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we only saw phase one of the plan, too. Like, who knows how it could have...
That's fair.
Maybe killing the producer the Beach Boys producer who rejected his songs.
Yeah.
Or whoever was in their house.
What kind of a world would we be living in today?
Yeah, that could have kicked off
a
race war, like, two steps later.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it's like, I guess here I sit with 2020 hindsight vision and say
it's 2022.
Why didn't you check who even lived in the house? Like, it wasn't even the person in the house who was your intended target. And then, you know, now I'm being rude.
Do you think it's 2020?
No, he says 2020 hindsight because that the glasses have the two
because of
zeros.
Glasses.
The 2022 hindsight, you can barely see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's incorrect.
No, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Kevin, that would have been perfect. Perfect. That would have been perfect.
This is a different Penguin video. Oh, okay. I just wanted to showcase their
that looks like Logan to me.
I think this is Logan. And I think
he's just stepping on the food.
I just wanted to showcase their improvement in production value. So here it is.
Well, it's still in portrait.
The Penguins at Philadelphia Zoo want to say congratulations to Jane and all the tax warriors at Drucker and Scassetti. 30 years of success is a wonderful milestone.
Wow.
And the Penguins are waddling with excitement and celebrating with you. From all of us here at the zoo, congratulations and cheers to 30 more.
And cut.
Guys.
Cut. And cut. That's a cut. We have it. Cut the camera. Stop film. Stop. Cut means stop filming.
Oh, were you talking to me? That's how it played out.
Guys, we had an amazing year. We had a great year at Drucker and Scassetti. So we had, we've been very fortunate. We had a little extra money around. We were able to put together sort of a gift for all of you.
What a great boss.
Can you turn down the lights, please? Scassetti would have. We lost
trying
Scassetti
to send this
year.
to the screen. I'm trying to send this to the screen. I'm pressing the little. It's like the. It looks like a little TV, right? I press that.
Yeah. Scassetti was. He was the tech guy.
Another great year of taxes, and I know how much everyone probably loves Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Last one.
Hey, Paul. Alice Cooper here. Going to be 34. All right, well, you know, I'm going to do your birthday song a little bit later, but when you talk about cameos in movies, you know, you pick certain movies that you think that you can do well in. I'm up for a part as the third fastest gun in the West in this other movie coming up, and it's right, everything's been postponed because of, you know, ooh, COVID, so we'll see what happens on that one. I get a lot of movie offers, and I just kind of, I take the ones that I think will be most interesting.
You should ask the producers to the character.
And anyways, I am going to sing a song for you, Paul.
It looks better on IMDb.
Here we go. I wrote this song in just a minute. And Paul,
You're oh, he started. It.
This is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Well, you're only going to be 34, so you don't get the rest of the song until you're 68. You have to double your age, okay? Happy birthday.
The nose scratch at the end. Wow, his assistant does not like him.
The realest thing.
I just imagine the assistant showing him and then taking the phone away before the nose scratch. Like, and yeah, you're good? Okay, good. I'll send it. He does get a lot of movie offers.
I get a lot of movie offers, but I picked the ones that I think are going to be interesting to me. And he also, it seems, has some sympathy for the gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
The Dexter type gunslinger that we thought of before. He wants to get inside their bones and really embody them.
He wants to have his makeup on, and his assistant told him that, like, if he sits in front of the green screen, they could put it on later. Yeah, sure, just sit in front of this green screen.
Yeah, I'll do all the posts on this cameo.
We'll do all of it. I'll cut the thing at the end that you did.
I'll send this to Skywalker, and then they'll do their magic, and then it'll go to this guy. Everyone is, I don't know if people realize this, but you can only buy a cameo for someone if they're in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
That's why all the ages were 34 and
34. Yeah. A lot of 34. A couple 35s here, but what are they doing there?
Yeah. They cut it off at 38. That's the oldest age you can be to receive a cameo.
Well, it's like you get a whole field of cameo requests, and then you get one for somebody who's like 39. You're like, I'm not going to do this shit.
You should have grown out of it by that point.
Yeah.
This pathetic 39-year-old loser.
Even Drucker and Scassetti was 30.
It's true. Even that tax business.
All true.
Cameos for people or institutions from 30 to 38.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And you shouldn't want it before then, and you certainly shouldn't want it after.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Goodbye.
Because 30.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.